This is WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number, 395-1450. Our guest this morning is Superintendent of Schools Brian Davis. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Duke.
All right. We had a lot of things to talk about this morning. You had a board meeting last night. Let's talk about some of the things that you brought up at the board meeting.
Sure. Last night was our monthly board meeting, and prior to that, we had our organizational meeting for the year. Our board meetings now operate on a January 1 through December 31 mm-hmm. time frame with some recent legislative action and when board members are elected now in November. We had no new trustees to take seats at the board table last night, but potentially at our next organizational meeting we will, because there will be an election this November.
Oh, yes.
And we have some seats that will be up for election and consideration. So we had our basic organizational meeting. We always take time to celebrate success that's taking place across the district, and Kurt Brinks was in. He's one of our math teachers at Holland High School, and we have several students who are finalists in a math prize competition. So they compete and they identify the top students across the state of Michigan in terms of their math proficiency and competency. They're taking classes in calculus and beyond. Some of the students are already duly enrolled at Hope College taking advanced level math classes, and they compete with each other across the state to kind of identify who are the top math students. And so we honored several last night, so that's always a great thing to do. We also talked about our budget amendment for the school year, and the board passed a budget amendment. The budget that we pass in June of each year is based upon a lot of factors that are the best guess estimates that we can make. One of those is related to student enrollment in the fall. What will that look like? You try to work in pension costs, retirement costs, and what your state funding is going to be. So January is always a time when we look back on our budget for the first 6 months of the school year, see how we're doing,
yeah.
And what does that need to look like. And the good news is we're trending exactly where we expected to be.
Really?
We're actually trending just a little bit further ahead than what we thought we might be from a budget standpoint, which is a positive thing. Unfortunately, we are still, our expenditures are still greater than our revenues for this year, so we're spending some of our fund balance, otherwise known as deficit spending, which unfortunately is not uncommon for school districts across the state of Michigan right now. So as the legislators and the governor takes a look at their budget planning for the next fiscal year, I'm sure people have seen in the news numbers anywhere between $1.1 and $1.3 billion. What might that mean for tax relief? What might that mean for roads and infrastructure within our state? What might that mean for pensions for school employees? What might that mean for the Foundation for Grant for Schools? We don't know yet. The cautionary note that was learning for, I think, many people yesterday at the chamber breakfast that was held here in Holland is that those projected revenues are over a three-year period of time. So they're looking at what were the revenues from 12-13, what are the projected revenues for this year. I think we should be very conservative in our thinking and not plan for revenues for 14-15, because there are a lot of things that need to occur between now and then. Representative Hobman, who's here locally, he's part of that budget work and serves on those committees. And the number that he shared yesterday was probably closer to somewhere around $700 million is where they're probably looking at. So how that fits into the overall budget, certainly schools are very mindful of, and we want to see what that might look like for us in the spring. And then the board is also beginning some new work on strategic planning. Our current plan began in 2010, took us through 2014-15, and it's time for us to begin taking a look at that, see what we've accomplished in the past 3 or 4 years, and what the area of focus needs to be as we move forward. So we're just beginning that process to better equip ourselves with a future vision and direction for Holland Public Schools.
All right, very good. Let's take a moment out for a weather word here.
Now that 2014 is here, we heat up the cold winter nights with high school basketball. Check who's playing next. Just click on our sports schedule at WHTC.com.
And the weather is brought to you by the Farmhouse Restaurant in Zeeland with 13 delicious dinners under $10. And the forecast is for snow showers today with a high of 12. Tonight, snow showers with light accumulations, a low of 2. And tomorrow, periods of snow up to 4 total inches possible, a high of 16. And right now, we're looking at 7 degrees in the Tulip City. Pretty chilly out there. All right. We're here with the Superintendent of Schools, and if you have any questions or something you'd like to discuss with him, give us a call at 395-1450. Our lines are open for you right now. And we have some other things to talk about here. One thing How did the big construction celebration go at Holland High last Friday night?
Incredible. Last Friday, we had our celebration for the reopening to the community of Holland High School, about 55% new construction, about 45% renovation. A little over 320,000 square feet is the high school campus. And the evening began at 4:30, but people began arriving about 10 after 4. Mm-hmm. And we had visitors all the way through 8:30 and into the varsity boys basketball game. Both the boys and girls played that night as well. And we probably had over 1,000 people come through and take early guided tours. Some came in and did self-guided tours. Some tours were given by our students. And the overall energy and synergy across the board was just amazing. It was nice to see the editorial in the paper on Sunday from the Holland Sentinel Board congratulating the district on a job well done, keeping true to our vision. We were on vision in terms of trying to present to the community a 21st century infrastructure to support 21st century learning, focused on safety and security, looking at different levels of energy efficiencies, being able to enhance the flexibility for instruction in the classrooms, and to improve the overall curb appeal and appearance of our facilities. And so it was great to talk with students who had recently graduated and their families, to alumni from as far back as 1952 was one of the alumni that I had a chance to talk with, all the way through the different decades, individuals to come in and try to orient themselves to where they were, which is very difficult to do. There's only two landmarks in the high school that are really in the original form, and that's the Dutch Dome, and then, of course, the media center and the art wing. Everything else around has been renovated in significant fashion or new. And so it was great to hear that, great to hear individuals talk about they felt that we utilized the community resources very well. They were inspired by what was taking place. We also had the opportunity to go behind the scenes for people that wanted to do that. So we shared how the geothermal exchange system works with the wells that are drilled down into the Earth's core and the exchange of the water through that system where the temperature stays at pretty close to 55 degrees. And we use that for heating and cooling purposes as it comes into the geothermal system, into the high school and the different blowers and the lights. And so I think those folks that wanted to understand how some of those systems operated really mm-hmm. got a chance to hear about that. And we had the opportunity for anyone who came Friday night to sample the food in the cafeteria. We have a new cafeteria commons that's open now. We've increased the number of students who are eating lunch on campus during the day, which was a goal, reduce the number of students that felt that they needed to go off campus during that short lunch period. And so we treated individuals to that, and they were amazed at what lunch looks like today in school in comparison to when others went to high school. Several individuals talked about, wow, their class reunions are coming up, and they want to be able to have an opportunity to welcome their fellow classmates back, do tours, or perhaps even host their alumni celebrations and class reunions at Holland High. And I just want to give a great kudos out to our construction management team, GDK, who is here locally, combined with Owen, Ames, and Kimball out of Grand Rapids. They became the Go Holland team. They've been working on this project since 2010. We'll be nearing completion at the end of this calendar year in sometime around October, September timeframe when the administrative addition is complete there. Certainly there's final details and tasks that need to be done between now and then, but they've just done a fantastic job. On any given day, between 140 and 160 local contractors were on site, so our goal of being able to put West Michigan back to work to help with that process certainly paid off as well. Grand Rapids Building Services is our local cleaning company that works with us on the day-to-day facility maintenance and cleaning and just did a fantastic job. Our staff, our students, it was just a great evening. I was very proud to be part of Holland Public Schools and to be able to share and deliver what we said we were going to do back in 2010 when we started talking about the bond, to be able to build an infrastructure to support that. Certainly our K-7s are coming along too. And it was a proud moment for me to be the superintendent, but also to be a community member and to celebrate that success and to see so many people come out and join us in that. So a great night for Holland Public Schools.
Yeah, that is wonderful. That's wonderful. I couldn't make it because I had another engagement. I had to had to attend.
So. Well, getting on your calendar is very challenging. You are quite the social activist in town, or have lots of engagements to go to.
Well,
and
I don't have that many.
Very popular.
This happened to come on the same night, unfortunately.
Well, I would be happy to give you a tour anytime you'd like to stop by.
Okay, okay. I don't know if I can find your office. I don't think I've ever been sent to the superintendent's office that I know of.
Well, I welcome people to come. We have open office hours to talk about education in general. We're currently at the Washington School, and we actually have open office hours next week on Tuesday. I have those on a monthly basis to invite community members to either call in or come in and to talk about education in general, where we're headed, the vision, what ideas people might have to share about how we can improve what we need to do. Certainly, we've made a lot of progress in the past 5 years, from our academic programming to our facilities, our budget, and all those things. But we're not content where we are. We know we can be doing better, and we have to be doing better. And so we welcome the ideas that people might have and how they might be incorporated into our future work.
All right. 395-1450 is our number if you'd like to talk to the superintendent this morning. And we talked about the legislature
Well, there are a few more legislative updates perhaps we can talk about. You know, the legislators are back in session after taking their holiday recess. And I think there are four things for us to keep an eye on from a school perspective. The first one, obviously, I kind of mentioned briefly, is the budget. What is that going to look like in the future? School districts are required to have their budgets in place by the end of our fiscal year, which is July 1. So the local boards of education typically begin that process now. They try to have those budgets in somewhat final form by May and adoption in June. So we will be watching very closely what happens in Lansing as the governor presents his budget. I think he has a lot of really good ideas. Certainly I appreciate his focus on early childhood education and the importance with that. That ties into a bill that was recently introduced by Representative Amanda Price in terms of third grade mandatory retention.
Yeah.
And that bill in its original form I was opposed to, as were many of my colleagues, because it simply stated if a third grader was not proficient in reading, which is one test on a specific day at time, they would be automatically retained. And I appreciate the openness that Amanda has had in listening to the education community and some of her colleagues in looking at considerations that need to be taken beyond that, considerations for special needs children who have learning challenges and difficulties, to students who are acquiring or learning a second language. If I haven't spoken English before, taking a test within 3 months, 6 months, or even 3 years, certainly my results are going to look differently. We can all agree the fact that we need to have our students reading, and it's a very critical juncture. Some are going to arrive at that at different points around third grade. But that's a critical juncture because students really in fourth and fifth grade take their reading skills where they were learning to read, and now they're reading to learn. So we all agree on that principle. I think the challenge that we have in our communities today is how do we ensure that all of our students entering into kindergarten are ready for kindergarten? And that's where that early childhood continuum is very important. The work that Pat Verdine and her staff and all of our community partners with Ready for School are doing is preparing our students. 65% of the incoming kindergarten class in the Holland Zeeland area, that's Holland Public, Holland Christian, Black River, West Ottawa, Zeeland Public, if I didn't already mention them, Hamilton and Saugatuck, only 65% are ready for kindergarten. So we have a gap when students start school. And to close that between kindergarten and third grade can be a real challenge for some. So we agree on the literacy. We need to look at some additional ways and support interventions of what that might look like. So that's the conversation to date. That's then tied into state assessments. There's House Education Committee hearings going on right now to talk about what is a new state assessment going to be in Michigan. The MEEP test, which we've been using for a number of years, is no more. And we'll be moving probably to something along the lines that's called the Smarter Balance Assessment to tie to the Common Core state standards that were recently adopted. So the legislator has yet to take action on that, and they're working with the Michigan Department of Education. And then tied into all of those pieces are teacher evaluation. That's been a significant change for schools the past 2 years, and what does that look like? What are the tools that the state is going to suggest or mandate that we use? What are those assessment practices going to look like? How much does student performance weigh into an overall teacher's evaluation? all great conversation pieces that need to occur, and a lot of very big decisions that have to be made. This is a critical juncture in education right now, and we need to take a strong look at that. So I appreciate the fact that they are taking some time, but we're coming up to the point where we need to make some decisions to be able to move forward. So those are the key areas.
How is the core being utilized here?
The Common Core State Standards, it's been adopted by all of the schools here in the Ottawa Area Intermediate School District, all 11 public school districts. I know Holland Christian has and Black River has as well. I can't speak for the other private or charter schools. The districts have been working with the ISD and at the local level on aligning all of our curriculum to the Common Core State Standards in both math and language arts. Science and social studies, those standards are yet to be adopted at the state level. Generation Next are the science standards, and they're going through their review process as well as social studies. It's going to be probably a 2 to 3 year process to fully align the curriculum within the grades. What Holland is doing right now is we're looking at what's called vertical alignment as well, so that not only do you have your third grade teachers all working from the same curriculum maps and pacing guides and common assessments, so within a couple days of each other, everyone is at the same place moving forward together. How does that align now with their fourth grade teachers to ensure that we're preparing them for the fourth grade? And how does that make sure that we're aligning with the second grade in terms of where they're ended? So there's a lot of professional staff development because some of the standards are very new to our classroom teachers. And a lot of the standards are much more rigorous since what we might have been doing in sixth or seventh grade, we might now be doing in fourth or fifth grade. So some of those have been moved down.
I probably couldn't pass fourth grade now.
I'm sure you could do fourth grade. Algebra 1 and 2 is a little bit trickier, I think, even for myself. So a lot of work related to that. We have our K-7 curriculums well aligned to the Common Core State Standards in Holland. Our high school staff is well on their way as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Is everybody getting math now?
What do you mean is everybody getting
all
math?
All the students get a dose of math.
Every student gets more than a dose of math. You know, we used to talk about sometimes we have to do interventions and support. And, you know, a B12 shot lasts a couple of months, and then it kind of wears off, and you have to get another B12 shot. The biggest piece for us in Holland is ensuring that all students, regardless of their background, language, learning ability, class, what system they came from before, all students have to be exposed to the general, regular education curriculum. And I think in the past we've done way too much of pulling students out from the regular core curriculum, and we haven't had expectations high enough for some of our students to do. So all students get more than a dose of math. They are exposed to the regular curriculum. And then how do we build interventions of support around them to support them in their work? And we're beginning to look at some structural changes and perhaps on how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So everyone gets their math.
Very good. One of the reasons I asked is because when I went to, when the Army picked me to go to the University of Illinois, they have people from all over, and a lot of these had never had math in high school, and they had a terrible time.
Well, and that's one of the things that the Common Core State Standards does bring. It brings continuity across the districts in the state of Michigan, but also across the states in the United States of America. So being able to have more of a Common Core focus, not to play on the word common too much, but it brings greater consistency across the state, across your local districts. And if everyone is working to teach those with great fidelity and credibility, you know what students should have been exposed to, what their skill set should be, and how you're able to move from one grade level to the next with greater proficiency.
Well, this is the first time we've been on the air in 2014. What are some of the goals you have for the district that we'll be talking about later?
Sure. One of the things that we'll be talking about is continuing to study and evaluate our secondary program options in Holland. Currently, we have three secondary options leading to graduation. We have our traditional program at Holland High School. We have Holland New Tech, which has more of a project-based, community-connected focus. And then we have our alternative high school at VR Tech. And so we're going to continue to look at how do we best meet the needs of all students, recognizing that there are different ways of learning for students and how do we best meet their needs. I think what we continue to look at VR Tech, our alternative high school, is how do we continue to increase the expectation of level and learning for our students who are there? How do we ensure that when students graduate from VR Tech, they are prepared to go on to a community college? and or into a job placement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because last Tuesday we celebrated our 200th graduate out of VR Tech.
Really?
200 doesn't sound like a lot, but when you put it in the perspective of when we look at the dropout rate at some of our in our area, the number of students not graduating from all of the local schools, these are 200 young men and women who would have otherwise not graduated from high school. I think if someone were to take an analysis and look at the economic impact on that over time, to look at these young men and women's earning potential, the ability to support families, the ability to be productive and contributing members of our community, 200 is a significant number. School of choice at VR Tech is about 25% to 28%. So we're serving students from all of our surrounding school districts into that program. And we recognize that we're serving the students there well, but we can be doing better. So we're continuing to evaluate what that program might look like. And we intend to be sharing probably later this spring in March or April some program enhancements there. Holland New Tech, we're doing some program extensions there as well and connecting more with the community. The Connections program is being launched, and that also includes students from Holland High, where we're connecting students after school with area businesses. That's going to lead to an early college. So one of our goals for 2014 in the Holland Zeeland area is going to launch the first early college. We are finalizing who our post-secondary education partner is going to be, and for our first go-around, students will begin as sophomores next year, taking high school and college classes, dually enrolled at the same time. They will only have a couple classes their sophomore year that are college level.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they get to their senior year, probably about 80% or 75% of their classes will be college level that they'll be receiving credit for and high school credit, and about 20% high school. And then we save back one more class, and they don't graduate their senior year. They graduate then their 13th year. They come back one more year where they have one or two classes left that are high school. All the rest is post-secondary. And then the students will graduate with an associate's degree in advanced manufacturing or a general associate's degree. That then will allow them to move into positions into some of our areas of advanced manufacturing here in the Holland area. Or they could transfer those credits on to a four-year university like a Ferris State University and continue on with an engineering mm-hmm. degree if they would so choose.
But they probably wouldn't have to go the full 4 years.
I'm sorry?
They probably would not have to go the full 4 years.
Well, they would have many of their classes already in
yeah.
place to take care of. The advantage to that system is you're able to use today the current foundation grant dollars that we receive through the state of Michigan to do so. So in essence, we're able to provide that post-secondary training and associate's degree at no cost to the students and their families or additional cost to
yeah.
the community from that standpoint, utilizing the foundation grant dollars to do that. Some will argue out there, I'm sure, that are listeners, oh, why are you so limited and focused right now in advanced manufacturing? Well, if we look around Ottawa County, that's one
it.
Of the top four pieces that we have in our area. Certainly, we want to be able to expand that into other areas. So as we look at this first group of students that are going to be going through, establishing that post-secondary partner, we would like to expand it into the health area of health fields and also looking at agriculture as some possibilities too. So, again, Holland Public, Holland Christian, West Ottawa, Zeeland, Black River, Hamilton, and Saugatuck, we have kind of formed this southwest region of the intermediate school district
right.
to launch our early college, and I appreciate the work there. So that's going to be a big piece that's taken a look at. Another one that we're looking at is a structural change. When we talk about proficiency in learning and the way school has been done, I've had a group of teachers that have been studying a new calendar structure as a possibility for Holland to get some feedback on. And these teachers are right now in the process of sharing this information with their colleagues. We're going to be sharing information with parents, doing some parent surveys, and that's related to a balanced calendar. Now, a balanced calendar is another way of saying, in some respects, year-round school. But if you mention year-round school, people automatically assume you're in school every day. What a balanced calendar does is it takes the current school year structure, it redistributes it across the school year differently, so we don't have significant breaks in learning as we do in the summer from May or June 1 to late August, early September. And the academics we can see for some of our students who've made great gains throughout the school year, it's called summer sliding the research. They can actually regress backward pretty significantly and then you have to spend a couple months in the fall doing a lot of remediation. So we're taking a look at that. What could a balanced calendar of that look like for Holland Public Schools at one of our school systems? So it's not something we've made a decision about. We're not ready to make a decision yet. Certainly we want a lot of input on that. There's a lot of research about it. There's currently 38 school districts in the state of Michigan who are operating in some form of a balanced calendar. So there'll be opportunities for our parents and community members to weigh in on that. And it wasn't too surprising that Governor Snyder actually mentioned that in his State of the State address last week. So we're looking at structural changes related to that, the early college. Certainly we'll continue to look at our technology integration and how we continue to use technology as a means to support learning. And the final piece is we're going to be working with Michigan State University and do an equity needs assessment of our school system. How are we ensuring that all students, regardless of their socioeconomic status or regardless of their ethnicities or backgrounds, how are we making sure that we don't have any institutional barriers in place that are keeping students from being able to succeed at their highest level mm-hmm. of learning? And so I think the leadership that the board is demonstrating in doing that work on the heels of celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. yesterday and the legacy of his work, ensuring that we do have opportunities for everyone to be highly successful. And as we look at our achievement gaps in Holland, we do have achievement gaps between socioeconomic status. We do have achievement gaps between the different ethnicities. And we've been spending about a year and a half studying those pieces now, and now we're going to be doing some more qualitative assessments. And what that means is a research team is going to be coming in and talking with students, talking with parents, talking with teachers, talking with administrators, really looking at our attitudes and beliefs, looking and studying our structural systems and to see, are there things that we could and should be doing differently, and how do we develop a plan for the future? So that'll be part of our strategic plan work that we're doing too. So there's a lot of things on our plate right now, all to make sure that we're increasing the graduation rate, increasing the proficiency of all of our students, increasing our graduation rate from Holland High School and beyond.
That's very good. Very good.
Yeah, there's a lot happening, and it's exciting work. It's heavy lifting to make some of these changes. It's challenging the status quo, but we have a group of educators in Holland that are so committed to this work, from our building principals and leaders, my direct team, all the way down to the classroom level and those people that are supporting that. It's just an incredible group of people that are working very hard each and every day to make a difference for our kids.
Kind of makes it fun, doesn't it?
It does. It does make it a lot of fun. It does, indeed.
Well, good. Good.
And, you know, it's January, and it's Board Appreciation Month. And
yes, that's
I just
right.
want to do a big shout-out to not only the Board of Education at Holland Public Schools, but all of our board members who serve here in the Holland-Zeeland area. They do a lot of work behind the scenes that people don't always see at their public meetings that we have each month. And I just want to thank these men and women for having the courage to step forward as trustees in their community to lead our school systems during some very difficult and challenging times, and thank them for their work.
All right. I always say, if you don't like what they're doing, run for the board.
Well, you could consider that as well. You bet.